This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 54. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this episode is...
TFG1 Mike.
The original TFG1 Mike.
Was there another one?
He was in that original podcast that wasn't very good, just like the original All Things Transformers, which that guy wasn't very good either.
I came in and saved the show. I've kept it going for 8 years now.
Yeah. I keep rebooting it every few years. So.
Oh, it's going to get another... It's not going to get another reboot, but it's going to get a new direction. We'll put it that way.
Don't talk about directions.
Why am I not talking...
I don't know.
No, I'm saying it's... You already know this. I've already told you about it. But I have a whole new plan for ATTF going forward. Which is something I've been doing in the pull bag for the last 3 or 4 years. So ATTF will be getting more frequent episodes as soon as I stop doing recording, producing, editing a daily podcast that I'm doing currently. So, yes. So it's been a while. BotCon.
Yes, it's been a while.
BotCon happened. I went to that Stan Bush, Vince DiCola concert. That was awesome. 6-year-old me is just like dancing all over the place. It was just so awesome seeing the two of them together in concert. Let's see, what else?
Go ahead. I'm quite sad about the BotCon thing because they came out with this Megatron that I will never be able to get my hands on. And I want it. It's supposed to be like his pre Earth form.
Yes.
Like he had a dragon form first, and then he became the one from the Dawn of Future Past, and then went into the
It's his Beast Wars Cybertronian form before they came to Earth. Before they got
Which lends itself to why he became a dragon again later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that transformation. Ever since I saw the preview image of it years ago, I wanted to get my hands on that. And then the moment I saw that it was $600, I was like, oh! Because, like, I could possibly, like, get by with, like, the $100, like, Masterpiece Primal.
Yeah.
But this one, I was like, owie.
We are not Howard and Raj from the Big Bang Theory. We're not spending $5,000 on action figures that look like us.
because they would never look like us.
Well, no, I know. But I'm saying, like, in your case, with Megatron being, you know, this pre Megatron being $600, it's first thing I thought of was the episode where Howard and Raj want... action custom built action figures of themselves. So yeah, like I said, BotCon happened. The rumors that I've heard, and I can say this because it's not it's been all over the place. The rumors that I've heard is that Hasbro is going to next year do an all-encompassing convention. So the rumors that I've heard is that it's going to be Transformers, G.I. Joe, ponies, all in one thing. And the first thing I thought of when I heard this, I'm like, there's no way in hell that they could do that. There's just no way.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how that's going to turn out, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm almost scared just because it's I don't know. It's something about it just I don't see how it's going to go as well as they plan, but we'll see. The only plus side to it would be it would help draw people to the franchises that people may not know a whole heck of a lot about.
Yeah.
Because they are doing this all-encompassing universe with like Transformers and G.I. Joe and Mask and all these other ones. So it would kind of help get life back to those original ones that people don't know a whole heck of a lot about.
Yep. Speaking of Hasbro and Transformers, and we've got the over on TFW2005.com, they have coverage of the 44th annual JP Morgan conference, which is basically, think of something like Toy Fair, but it's for investors and that kind of stuff. It's one of these business things, and Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner has stated several different things. Which one would you like to tackle first?
I guess it doesn't really matter which one. We'll kind of go down the list. I do like the aspect of this article, though, that they mentioned the how the fan community is now a significant factor in the revenue, which how could it not have been?
Yeah.
Over 20% of Hasbro products are purchased by or for people who are 16 years or older, so there will be fan-specific products in the future, meaning we'll probably get more Masterpiece, we'll probably get more stuff that's high dollar, which means it's going to price me right out.
Yep.
I am planning on getting the new, like, Titans Return, like, Scourge and some of the figures that are going to come in that lineup, right. But it's, yeah, I don't see it hitting my price range anymore.
Yep. Let's see. Apparently, the Hasbro owned mobile game developer Backflip will deliver new mobile games, including Transformers Earth Wars, which I've seen several images of. And there's going to be a My Little Pony this game this year as well as delivering a sequel to their own hit game, Dragon Vale. You know, the gaming thing with Transformers, it's always been hit or miss, depending on the game. And now that they're doing mobile games, it's kind of interesting how they're you know, going after the mobile market. So that's pretty cool. What do you think of the 360 degrees way to play? It apparently means not just toys, entertainment, and mobile devices will play a major role. A new Hasbro team called Integrated Play Team, a.k.a. iPlay Team, handles the integration. So apparently, Hasbro is jumping on the Skylanders.
It'll flop. It'll flop because Disney's even packing up ship on theirs. And if Disney's packing up ship, it's not profitable.
Yep.
Lego, the only thing they have going for them is you can build crap.
Yep.
And then it comes into the game. So I don't see this working out in their favor here, but they're welcome to try.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, Goldner has stated that the Transformers franchise is going through a transition period at this point.
In other words, they're going to pull a Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
In order to keep their toy company afloat.
They kind of have to, considering Nerf is the biggest revenue at this point.
Because their Transformers stuff isn't really drawing people. because they have primarily shelf warmers.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Hasbro is also the same company that has kind of got a shortage of female toys on any franchise for the most part.
All the toy companies have a shortage.
They are, but Hasbro seems to be the one with the biggest brands. Yeah. Like, you have Star Wars, you have, you know, Marvel, you have...
Yeah.
Transformers, I mean, G.I. Joe, like any of these. So, like, they're shooting themselves in the foot anyway. So,
they have one whole female based design series with Gem. And all is we really get, not that I would buy any of these, obviously, but all is they really put out or all is they allow other companies to put out are the Gem dolls. There are no Gem action figures. There are no, you know, this, that, and the other thing. You know, you look at Transformers, you got Windblade, and she's gotten, what, one figure? And then supposedly there was that female combiner Victorion or Victronion or whatever the hell that was supposed to be.
Yeah, they pimped that out at Hasbro BotCon last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's coming out this year. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that aside though, with the amount that these things cost anymore, and don't get me wrong, the detail on them have gotten better over the last like 2 to 3 years, because we had a period of where these toys were just utter garbage. Mm-hmm. Not saying that the joints on them and some of the plastic on them aren't cheap.
Yeah.
But they just look better, and the transformations hide all the robo kibble. So between modes, they look like they should.
Yeah.
So I congratulate them on that. But I think part of their problem is with doing this film universe, you have a bunch of toys that not only get a slight remold between films,
yeah,
but are completely, they're ugly. So like there's no replay or display value to any of those toys on the film universe.
Mm-hmm.
So like myself, I've not owned any, and I say this like again with emphasis, any of the Transformer film toys, because I find them to be hideous.
I think the only thing I bought, which was kind of silly actually, but you know how every single time you get a DVD release, you have DVD exclusives. Like this store has this, that store has. I went to Target and I bought the Target exclusive, which came with a movie Optimus Prime mask or a movie Bumblebee mask or whatever. But other than that, yeah, I mean, the movie toys, they're just not. Even if I was still into the toy collecting thing, which I haven't been in since 2011, so 4 or 5 years now, you know, the movie toys have never really, like, the only one I absolutely loved and the only one I had was Revenge of the Fallen Ravage. That was a cool toy. But yeah, I mean, the movie stuff just, oh God. Before we get more into movie stuff, let's get the gaming stuff out of the way. Apparently, the Transformers video games are action-adventure oriented. They will not be integrating violence into their video games. Probably talking about M for Mature rated games. Activision.
Yeah, which is fine, but like to say that Transformers doesn't have violence is like saying that Cheetos don't have cheese.
Yeah. Apparently, Activision was mentioned as the publisher of Transformers video games, oddly in a past tense, stating historically produced by Activision, meaning that a parent new publisher, new video game publisher, will be announced at some point. Apparently, Activision. So let's see. Let's see here. What has Hasbro done in the last 6 months of 2016? They fired FunPub, so they no longer have BotCon. Supposedly, according to this article, seeing as how it says that they talked about it in the past tense, they've gotten rid of Activision. Hasbro. Oh,
I think we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah,
they're sinking, everybody. I mean, I kind of see them trimming the fat to some extent with some of these different things and doing more stuff in house. But at the same time, I'll have to wait and see what they're gonna do with the gaming stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, Transformers Devastation was a spectacular
game. It was, absolutely.
That's the most fun I've had on a game since the High Moon Studios games,
right,
of like the War for Cybertron, yeah, and
Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah, those two were spectacular as well. So like when you have those three, really the only other game I liked besides that was the Armada game that came out like a decade ago.
Yeah, 2002 or something.
And I was good at that game too. But I don't know. I'm kind of weary about it, but
see, the thing for me is, like, you know, you mentioned the High Moon games. You got War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron. There wasn't really a whole hell of a lot of, I mean, yeah, there's violence in those games, but that's what, I mean, they're giant robots fighting each other. They've been fighting a 4 million year long war. I mean, that's the whole point of this, unless you're going to change the entire story and not have the war anymore, or not have that be the origin. You know, unless you're going to pull a DC or something, it's like, how can you not have violence in a Transformers video game? Because it's robots fighting robots. I can understand them saying it's not going to be a mature level. And when I think
which is fine. Well, like, I don't expect a mature game when I play Transformers. Yeah, like, no. I expect a fun transforming game where I can blow up stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
well, see, when I think of the mature rating for video games, I think of over-sexualization and blood and gore and guts. I'm sorry. Transformers, they're robots. They basically have no sexual orientation, and they don't bleed. They leak energon. I mean, I'm sorry.
They leak in lubricants.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way in hell I could see the ESRB putting an M rating on a video game that where it's leaking energon. Like, it just doesn't. It doesn't translate well for me at all.
Time I look into a monitor, Prime.
Yep.
My circuit sizzle. Yep.
And then there's the movie universe.
Which couldn't burn in a fire for as far as I'm concerned.
So this... Okay. Before we talk about the title...
Fire.
Before we talk... Sorry. Okay, Beavis. Before we talk about the title of the fifth film, Transformers 5 will continue the story of the previous four live-action movies, while the next movie in 2018 will focus on Bumblebee. This statement further confirms the fact that the Transformers Bumblebee movie may not be a continuation of the current series, but rather a spin-off standalone movie, as previously stated when the movie was first announced. This is the, like, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I hear a...
Yeah.
Headshot.
Yeah. Like...
This is another one of those shoot to the wall at moments.
Yep, pretty much. I just hope they get a new director and better writers.
I don't think. Well, this is the thing. Hasbro did state that they're going to have a think tank.
Yeah.
For their universe between all of their different franchises. So in that essence, I think that you will see a new direction. Yeah. Same token, though, I don't know. I don't know how well it's going to be received, but I'm hoping that with having different writers, and it won't have Michael Bay for all these spinoff films. He'll probably only headline the main ones, and then, you know,
who knows,
jump off a bridge. So I'm, as I said, I'm hoping that they kind of rectify everything and kind of make it better, but only time will tell, I guess.
So Transformers 5 has a subtitle,
which is stupid.
The Last Night.
Good night, everybody.
Is Batman gonna show up?
Is it the Dark Knight?
I mean, like, I don't know where. Okay, so I know everyone isn't the biggest fan of Age of Extinction. And that's fine. I enjoyed it more than Revenge of the Fallen and Dark of the Moon, because by Dark of the Moon was good. Dark of the Moon was all right. But by then, I was ready for anybody but Shia LaBeouf.
Although at this point, I would take him back.
I wouldn't, no. I'm sorry. They, Michael Bay, and I specifically state Michael Bay, because by the time Dark of the Moon came around, you just had his lapdog Aaron Kruger doing the writing. So I pretty much blame Bay on all this.
Can we just put The Rock in it and call it good?
Yeah, we could do that.
Because I would so watch that as opposed to what we've been getting.
Yeah. So apparently the... we also have Hasbro trying to create their own cinematic universe. The movie will feature G.I. Joe, Micronauts, ROM, Visionaries, and Mask. Apparently, it's going to be released either 2018 or 2019. Okay.
I mean, I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather have them do a third G.I. Joe movie introducing Mask as like a side thing in that movie and then have Mask get its own movie, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm almost so far removed from... I can say this honestly. I'm not going to watch the next Transformers movie. I have no intention of ever watching any of these films again, just because while I do acknowledge what it has done for the franchise, it has reinvigorated it, just like Beast Wars did, you know, 20 years ago.
Yep.
I don't think that between the writing... say what you will about Michael Bay, he can make crap blow up. That's what Transformers is. Robots fighting and blowing up.
Yep.
The stories have been subpar.
Yep.
And that's why the films have been bad. Just like the Star Trek reboots. And I'm not going to go into that whole soapbox. You want to hear that, listen to Altered Geek or Future Imperfect. But this newest film is being directed by the Fast and the Furious director of Star Trek. And I'm not going totally into detail there, but it's being written by one of the actors from the film that is trying to go back to what Trek is, unlike the previous two rebooted films.
Right.
And after this recent trailer, I'm actually on board with it.
Right.
Whereas the first trailer that came out was like a giant WTF because it wasn't cut right. So I'm hoping that with Hasbro having a think tank of writers, we get more dynamic stories and more intelligent writing. Because we won't have that Damon Lindelof type of people. We won't have Orson Kurtzman. We won't have any of these, you know, these token guys that have headlined all these series that, you know, they've clustered things together with. But yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic to some degree, but I'm not. And especially with the title of The Last Night, I wish they would almost consult with their comic counterparts.
Yeah.
Because I think that at this point, that's the only way we're going to end up with a good film.
Yeah. Like, I know for the last number of years, IDW has been doing the two ongoings, Transformers, the book formerly known as Robots in Disguise, and More Than Meets the Eye. And I get it. The Transformers movies are to appeal to everyone, not just us, the fans. But I think if you took James Roberts' writing from the comic and adapted it to live action, it could really work. Or at least adapt it to animation, because let's face it, I mean, what does Transformers have currently? They have Rescue Bots and Robots in Disguise. Rescue Bots is for the kids. Robots in Disguise is also for the kids. I know, folks, we are fanboying out over some of this stuff where it's like, why don't they have stuff for us? It just seems like Hasbro at this point is moving towards more so marketing towards children than they are the people that they say is important to them. It said in the article, fan revenue or fan interaction is important to them. Well, you're not saying that when you have all the kiddie stuff out there. What?
I was saying, how important is it really?
Yeah, really. I mean, like, seriously. Get rid of your convention, getting rid of a few other things. I don't know.
Well, I think the convention thing, I think Fun Pub, and I think that they also were realizing that between Fun Pub and the overpricedness of the conventions themselves, it had gotten to be too pricey and they'd outprice themselves.
Yeah. Like
not only for them as Hasbro, but for the fans.
Well, like I've said before on this show and the last 8 or so years that I've podcasted, if you want the true BotCon experience, you know, you want the Primus package now that they introduced the golden ticket stuff. And if you want everything, if it's not in your hometown, you got to then figure in flight and hotel, which I understand hotel you can, you know, team up with a bunch of people and cut the cost really down, which is fine. But you're looking easily at $2,000 for BotCon for everything that, you know, for everything that they allow. That's not including food, but, you know, includes flight, hotel, whatever else. If it's in your town, maybe you can get away with $1,500 since you don't have to pay $500 for an airline ticket. But I don't know. It's, yeah, it's just so expensive. I mean, I remember, was it, yeah, it was 2008. It was in Cincinnati. It was about an hour and a half away from me. It was in Cincinnati. It was Duke Energy Center or whatever it is up there. They had, that was the first year of Shattered Glass. And I was scouring that year eBay, because back then I had a bunch of disposable income. I was scouring eBay for the set, for the entire set, not just the five-figure box set, but everything. And I think I ended up paying close to $900 for it all, which wasn't bad.
Wow.
At the time. Which wasn't bad at the time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I Hasbro, I don't know. Like I said,
Hasbro, go home, you're drunk.
What?
Hasbro, go home, you're drunk.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So let's, we're going to talk about the 25th.
Something fun.
Yeah, something fun. So let's rev up and roll out. Transformers!
We're back with all things Transformers, and getting into the next topic of the night, we have Transformers Robots in Disguise.
Season 2!
Now, before we get really into it,
yes,
I know you have reservations on it. So, what may those be?
Well, okay, I watched the first season, and I liked it. Thought it was alright. I wanted to wait until the second season was done for me to be able to watch it. Like, I can't. I have now become, well, I've been this way for a while, folks, but I'm essentially a cord cutter. So I watch any and all of my TV online in any way, shape, and form I can get it. So I can't just sit here and, especially with Rid, I couldn't sit here week to week to week waiting. I just couldn't. So I waited and waited and waited. I actually watched all 13 episodes of season 2 about 5.5 hours before we recorded this. Season 2, it started off interesting. My only complaint about season 2 is they essentially turn Optimus Prime into a little bitch.
Well, their goal is to turn Primal or Prime into, you know, the not leader, and Bumblebee's supposed to be the leader, even though he's not.
Well, I mean, Bumblebee's been lead. Bumblebee led the team, you know, on Earth the entire first season. They had Optimus in the Matrix or in the Prime universe or wherever the hell he was, some astral plane universe shit. And every now and then, you know, he would appear to Bumblebee. And as season 1 progressed, he eventually, you know, the Primes granted him power and came out, saved the day, etc., etc., etc.
So by their powers combined, he is Captain Planet.
Yes. And no, he's Captain Primelet.
Primal Planet.
Oh, God. And by season 2... the very first episode, the I forget what the character's name is. He appears on one of Grimlock's flanks, and he says, "Oh yes, Mr. Optimus Prime, sir, we now have to take away the power that we gave you." So they basically depower him, which essentially nearly kills him again. Which, if you, because this RID 2015 is also a follow-up to the Transformers Prime universe, so it's the same continuity. So this is like the fourth time between Prime and Rid that he's almost died.
Well, he did die. I know. Had to.
Yeah.
They had to infuse power into
him
to bring him back from the dead.
Yes. But my problem was the whole juxtaposition of the season between him and Bumblebee is Optimus wanting to lead and Bumblebee reasserting the fact that he's the leader and Optimus isn't and blah, blah. Like, they do this whole dynamic and I'm like, wow, this feels like the Odd Couple with giant robots. I don't like this. It's just so weird. And by the end of the season, Optimus takes his team and goes off back to Cybertron to investigate the new mysterious leadership on the planet. And Bumblebee takes his team and stays on Earth and does all that stuff. The coolest thing for me, the one thing I absolutely loved in season two of Rid was that they brought Windblade from the comics to the cartoon. And I like her in Sideswipe's interactions. That was really cool. The other thing that I loved in season two as I watched the episodes was that Optimus taught them to camouflage themselves and scan different modes.
That was pretty cool.
That was friggin' cool. Like, I know they only did that so they could get repaints of the toys, but I don't care. In the story of the show, it was pretty friggin' cool because they started out with the Arctic thing and then they went to the desert thing, which that was really friggin' cool. I thought that was great.
That was genius.
Yeah. And yes, season one, we did have Megatron Us, which is fine. That's the one complaint I have about Rid, is they introduce all these wacky Decepticons that nobody friggin' knows. Like, they're, you know, you look at Rebirth, and Rebirth, the three-part Rebirth G1 episodes introduced 120 new characters in 3 half-hours. Well, every half-hour of this show introduces some new character. I get it, it's a new character, that's fine. I still want to see some classic characters show up. I don't necessarily need a Starscream or a Thundercracker or a Skywarp, but maybe an Astro Train or something. I don't know.
I don't necessarily have a problem with them having new villains. I just want some of the old ones to show up. And when, spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't seen it yet, but when Soundwave reappeared, I was like, wait, I didn't know that they trapped him in there. I couldn't remember that they trapped him.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need Soundwave to stay alive now.
Yeah.
Only to immediately douche him back to where he came from. Which made me sad because I never got to hear Walker do the voice again. Because so far, he's not in this show.
Yeah. It's a little crazy. That was pretty cool as far as that goes. What else did or didn't you like about this one?
This series or season?
Mm-hmm.
I loved Ratchet's new design and the fact that he was back and had a mini-con.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool. And the fact that you had Steeljaw.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other Decepticons are like, oh, what was it they were saying? They couldn't believe that Steeljaw, like, took command from them.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm a Decepticon. Like, what did you expect? Which was kind of funny to me because, like, you would think being Decepticons, they would expect it. Because not one of them is, like, not prone to being traitorous.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Starscream. I do wish that we could get to see what happened with Starscream and have him maybe reappear.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some of these other characters.
Starscream and Shockwave, we should have been able to see at some point. Maybe, because Starscream and Shockwave were on Cybertron and not on Earth, and supposedly there's going to be a season 3 this fall. Season 2 ends off with, like I said before, with Prime, Windblade, Ratchet, and I think somebody else going to Cybertron. So maybe season 3 they'll bring in, Starscream and Shockwave. My only question is now at this point, we've got two seasons of this show. We've got, I forget, X number of seasons of Rescue Bots. Historically, since 2007, almost 9.5, almost 10 years now, every Transformers cartoon, with the exception of Rescue Bots, has only been 3 seasons. Animated was 3 seasons. Prime was 3 seasons and a movie.
Beast Wars was 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Beast Machines was 2.
Yeah, Beast Machines was 2. Technically, G1 was 3, even though they count Rebirth as the 4th season. But my question in the last 10 years at this point is, if after season 3, is that going to be it for it? Are they going to do another reboot and do another series, something else, something separate, something new, something different? That's what I want to know at this point.
It's going to be minty fresh.
Because between Transformers Prime and Transformers Robots in Disguise 2015, Transformers Prime hit that magic syndicated number of 65 episodes, and I'm wondering if they're going to have Rid do the same thing and then move on to something else.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me either, but I don't know. It just...
I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
That's really all I can say on this, because like I really hope that they do something else after this, but same token, like I really don't like it when they constantly reboot, but I get it at the same time.
See,
and honestly, to keep having, and don't get me wrong, I love Peter Cullen, but to keep pulling back on the past actors, especially when they're as old as they are,
yeah,
you're gonna end up running into tragedy at some point.
Well, you know, I mean,
and I hate to say that.
Yeah. Well, we always make this joke about, you know, putting Peter Cullen and Frank Welker on ice forever so we can still have their voices. But, I mean, you know, everybody's getting up there in age and all that. And you know how I feel about this. You take a look at Optimus's history. Unless you're talking Primal. If you look at just the robot version of Optimus, the truck Optimus, there's only been a few other people that have voiced him besides Peter. One, I absolutely can't stand, and the other one was pretty damn good and animated. So, you know, heaven forbid anything happened to Mr. Cullen. What will Hasbro do then? How will they find somebody? Will they? They're going to have to reinvent. They're going to have to come up with a story or something.
But you can't reinvent the wheel.
I know.
It's already been done.
I know. I don't know. I don't know. But TF Rid 2015 Season 2, it was okay. It wasn't bad. It was all right. I mean, there were some really good moments in it. My main takeaway from it is if we didn't have the Optimus Bumblebee fighting over who's the leader thing, it would have been better for me, I think.
Yeah, I didn't like that either, but I kind of overlooked it. I do enjoy the characters quite a bit, all of them.
Yeah.
Some of them grated on me, like Strongarm and Sideswipe bothered the crap out of me first season. But with season 2, because of their added impact, you could say.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy them now because they have like almost a sibling rivalry between each other.
Yeah.
So it's entertaining, and then we have I don't know. I just like all the characters that have been in the show. They've been really fun. There's really nothing I don't like. Now, the Decepticons, like I said, I could do with some more like memorable ones that were in the show at one point. Again, I get why they don't do it. I wish that I could see more of the Transformers Prime influence in the show. But maybe with the next season, we'll get that.
Yeah. Because we've spent 2 years on Earth now. I'm hoping that season three is a combination of Earth and Cybertron, since Optimus went back to Cybertron. And the funny thing is, after two seasons of this show, and I could be wrong about this, my memory's old and fuzzy. Have they ever gone into Crown City? Like, even once in the show? They avoid.
Is that the city that Transformers Prime took place?
No, Crown City is the name of the city on the other side of the junkyard in Red.
I think they have.
Okay, because I don't remember. People comment on the episode and let me know, because they always try to avoid Crown City.
Big budget.
All the time, you know. And I don't know. Too many forest battles for me. I need a couple of city battles. That's one of the reasons why I'm kind of glad they're going to Cybertron.
Well, some of them are.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is they're like, oh, we have to stay, quiet. We can't let them know we're here. And it's like, did you forget, like, years ago you guys were all here destroying the planet and... It's like that slate wasn't wiped clean. There still was something that happened.
Yeah.
The one episode with the rock band.
That was cool.
With Bumblebee. That reminded me of one of the old G1 Marvel comics.
I'm looking at Crown City on the TF Wiki. They did the episode where the mad scientist Vertebreek built his laboratory in Crown City subway system. But I don't remember them being like I don't remember them like driving through the city is what I'm saying here, folks. So I'm not,
Oh, I was going to say, my memory is so good. Transformers 1984 Marvel first, the issue 14.
Yeah.
It's got a, looks like Trailbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
At a rock concert.
Right.
And he's there doing what Bumblebee was doing.
Oh, God.
You know, so it's... it's called Rock and Roll Out. is the comic. Yeah. That's. I think that episode is definitely an homage to that.
Oh, absolutely. Most definitely.
So
I almost wish, whatever happens in season three for Red, if that's it after that, I almost wish they would pull a DC Universe animated original movie thing and just start making animated films. Adapt certain comic stories to the animated films. You only have to bring in voice actors. I know you got animation and all that stuff that you have to do, but it beats trying to, have 10 different plus spinoffs. Action crap.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much the general consensus on the Transformers RID series. So, getting into the awesome feedback we got last month.
Sorry, it's so late.
Yeah, we just hadn't recorded another episode. Since the last one, it was by Judo Trip,
Judo trick?
Trip.
Trip. Okay. For a second there, I thought you were talking to me like Austin Powers. Judo chop.
Nope. also calls himself Monsterbot. So I was randomly scanning my saved favorite TF podcast, praying for something different, when lo and behold, a new episode of All Things Transformers version 3.0, episode 53. I was so psyched I had to send a PayPal donation right away. You guys rock. You may not be the most regular or most loudest of the Transformers podcasts, but you will never fail to deliver and entertain, and that makes each episode that much more special. You're true TF fans who really love the genre and don't fall into the lame drama, infighting, and politics that seem to plague the Transformers podcasting world. ATTF is the first TF podcast I ever downloaded, and it will be the last one I give up on, after they pry it from my cold, dead spark.
Well,
glad to see ATTF 3.0 is still going strong, and I hope the modest donation will help to keep the lights on. Here's a bit of an incentive. Whenever you post a new episode, I promise to make a generous donation. Sorry, but I got to get my ATTF fixed somehow. Thanks. By the way, I got your Unicron Trilogy Bayverse right here.
Oh, ew. Too much information, dude. All right, so like I said at the beginning of this episode, I have put together a plan. I've put together a guest list of people that I've podcasted with, that Steve's podcasted with in the last 7 or 8 years. And I don't know when this is going to start, because he and I are working on a whole bunch of other stuff right now. Like I said earlier in this episode, I'm currently working on a daily cartoon review podcast on the Disney Channel Phineas and Ferb cartoon series. But we're going to start All Things Transformers Origins. I took this from The Pullbag, my other podcast, my comic podcast that I do. Basically, on The Pullbag, I have various... It's usually myself and one other person. Sometimes it's two people, depending. And I talk to that person about how they got into or got out of reading comic books. So I'm going to take that format and that platform and apply it to the Transformers fandom. And it's going to be episodes with Steve and I, you know, talking to one or two other people and asking them the same things, except it's going to be all Transformers based. So how initially we did the Pullbag Origins was Steve and I came on, did an episode, and basically interviewed each other on how we got into reading comics. And that's probably what we're going to do when we start the Origins, so people can hear the guinea pig kind of, you know, episode. Questions will be something like, you know, which US-based cartoon do you like the most or the least? How would you rank the Transformers cartoons? What was your first toy? Was there ever a time that you dropped buying any of the toys? That kind of stuff. And it's going to be something cool. It's going to give ATTF a whole new audience, I think. It's going to give us something exciting to do, because most of the time, and I think you'll agree with us when I say this, most of the time in ATTF's history, we try to report on the news. And depending on if there's news that we're interested in is how long those news episodes last. And there's just some news articles out there that either Steve doesn't care about or that I don't care about.
And well, as you've so kindly mentioned in the feedback, we don't talk about things that don't need to be talked about.
Yeah.
And when it comes to like castings or like rumors or just general like stuff that ultimately doesn't matter.
The fact that the Lost Knight is shooting in Shanghai. Or the fact that it's shooting in Paris, or the fact that it's shooting yeah. locations are not news stories, people. And, you know, like you said, we've always tried our best to...
And we also try not to bash the other podcasts. But...
Right. Well, see this thing, like, at this point, I'm so much on the production side of podcasts, and I listen to my own stuff so much in the editing. I just make sure the product is done, finished, edited properly. I've made mistakes in the last 2 or 3 years with certain episodes and stuff like that. But, like, I barely listen to podcasts anymore that I'm on or that I'm not on. And it's not, and like, I know it's kind of a double standard for me where it's like, I am hoping and expecting someone to listen to my shit when I don't listen to anybody else's shit. You know, it's just one of those things where I'm doing this so much now with the passing of my mom last year. Before that, I was taking care of her night and day for 3 years, and I still podcasted. I still got stuff done. We still did stuff on GCRN and stuff like that. But it was, you know, before that, I was podcasting like a maniac, and now I'm back to being able to do that. But it's more so I'm doing more of the production than actual listening. And I do feel sorry. I do feel bad about that. I don't listen to other people's stuff, but I don't know. And as far as us bashing the other TF podcasts,
well, they're just saying we don't fall into the drama.
We don't bash them, but half the time we don't listen to them. So how can we bash something we don't listen to?
That's, I personally don't listen to a lot of the other TF podcasts. I used to listen to quite a few of them when we first started doing the network.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not because I wanted to copy or anything.
Right.
It was because...
it's because you wanted to hear other people's opinions.
Well, I was curious at the time, wanted to hear it, but then it just got to be so much of just reporting on random stuff that I didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
And so I just stopped listening to them. And it wasn't that their product was bad, it was just the stuff they were covering I just had no interest in. So, like, I tried to make sure that when I pick something, that it's something that I think that people would actually want to listen about.
Yeah.
And sometimes I overshoot and sometimes I undershoot, and it shows at different shows. I mean, some Altered Geek episodes are better than others. It just depends on how much controversy I stir up.
Yes, that's right.
And granted, I do put a lot more effort into that show than I do this one, but this one I feel... It's not that I'm saying I don't put any work into this show, because I do. It's this one has been a labor of love since the beginning.
Yeah.
And the other one's like, it is too, but it's a different beast entirely.
Yeah.
So I get to cover a multitude of different things, whereas this one, every time I've tried to kill the show,
you can't.
I get this like, it's gone. It's gone. I'm sad. And then I bring it back.
Yeah. You can't,
Because it's been a staple of my podcasting career.
Well,
since
it launched you. I mean, you originally launched it on TF Wire.
I didn't launch this on TF Wire. They closed down all the secondary podcasts on TF Wire.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I need something. Yeah.
I need an outlet.
Yeah.
Like, I need to talk.
Yeah.
And I was like, because the podcasting world had never been something I'd thought about prior to TF Wire.
Yeah.
And then after TFWire, I was like, I don't have a podcast. I need a podcast. I've had web space for years. So I was like, I know how to edit now. I'm like, why not?
Yep.
And so I started doing it. And then it's just kind of, it's gone from there.
Well, yeah. We've had evolutions of the show. You know, you go back to, I don't know how we can find any of this, because I think you took it all off the original site. Well, but
I took it off the server to some degree, but it's still in the feed somewhere.
Yeah. If you go back and you listen to version one, the very first, when Steve first started, you can tell how far he's come. And just like if you go back to TFG1 episode 0 and episode 1, you can tell how far I've come in podcasting. It's one of those things where ATTF won't ever die, because we constantly find ways to reinvent the show. Whether that be via news, whether that be via reviews of the cartoon series, whether that be whatever. And I think this new direction that I have with the Origins thing, that's going to give us an even bigger outlet. You know, so not saying again that we wouldn't listen to others' podcasts, but that would allow us, you know, I've got a list right now of at least 15 people that Steve and I are going to have on for Origin. So that's at least 15 new episodes of the show. And then, you know, they can tell their friends and they can tell their friends and so on and so forth. And we can have a whole bunch of other people on the show, and we can talk to these people and ask them their opinions of the fandom. And I think that's going to be a whole new direction, like I said.
And I was kind of thinking too, I may eventually start doing some like round tables where I start inviting just random people that our fans of Transformers to join in. I mean, of course, it would have to be like figured out prior, but I, because it's not going to be like a spur of the moment thing. It'll be a planned thing, but I eventually would like to do that because I think it would be interesting to kind of bring people in that are fans of Transformers and don't necessarily fall into any of these particular groups that parts of the fandom have created for themselves. Because, like, the fandom, and this is one thing that Transformers is much like the, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars type people. You get your fanboys, then you get your rabid fanboys, and then you get your people that are enthusiasts or people that are kind of, you know, they love this stuff, but they're not, like, they don't care enough to attack other people. They're just happy that there's other people that enjoy it with them.
Right.
And that's kind of the same thing with those kind of franchises. And so, like, I'm fortunate enough that I'm not as rabid as I used to be when I did this show. Granted, we just don't talk about the things, so it makes it easier.
Yeah.
But we're glad that we never fail to deliver and entertain. And yes, we appreciate PayPal donations, but it's not, you know, we would do this stuff regardless.
We do this stuff anyway. I mean, the way I look at the stuff, if somebody wants to donate, it's like a tip jar. It's, hey, I listened to your stuff and I liked it. And I liked it so much, I want to give you something back. That's fine. I you know, whatever. But yeah.
And that's why also, like, with version 2.0, before we closed it out and went to 3.0, was why we did all those, like, series specific subjects to make sure that we didn't do the news, but we got to cover.
It was 2 years ago. It was the 30th anniversary of the original cartoon. So why not celebrate, you know, 30 years of Transformers all together?
Which was fun.
Yep.
So, yeah. So if you guys have any question, comments, or suggestions for the show, or topic ideas, or anything else, you can email it, feedback@geekcastradio.com, or you can send it to at, and I have to make sure I'm getting the right handle here, but
all things TFV3
on Twitter. Leave feedback there too, or on the website on the episode post. Always loving to read awesome feedback. So and also give it some love over in iTunes. I haven't checked recently to see if there's any, but
I think the last one was a few years ago. I don't think there was one. It pretty much was something to the effect of, okay, I'm done. I'm tired of yelling at my iPod or, you know, whatever.
It may have been one of those lull times that we had.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, be sure to leave us feedback. We're always looking for feedback and always looking for more fun, geeky suggestions to have on the show. So anything you'd like to say before we close out?
I think, like I said before, the origin stuff is going to give both of us new outlook on getting things done. And like I said, having new roundtables. The last one was 2 years ago, actually.
Nice.
And I'm out. At first it was cute, but I got sick of yelling at my phone correcting these guys. I don't even remember what we were doing. Oh, 2014, we were doing the 30th anniversary stuff. Apparently it's somebody named Hayes Detroit, so apparently it's somebody in Michigan. Damn those Michigan people.
Yeah, I could make a comment about that, but you'd probably be right. So I'm going to leave that there. So until next time, transform and roll out.
Transform and transcend.